This is Marina Kažinić. She is in
Hello.
Ljubljana at the moment in Slovenia, and I'm here sitting in Vienna. And we will talk a little bit about art and education. So, Marina, you yourself studied philosophy. What have your own experiences with education been like when you were a student, and how would you describe the differences to an art education?
Okay, first, hello, Christian, and just to say to those who will listen to this and or watch to this interview, you send me the questions in advance just for one day, but I have to state they are very interesting and very demanding, mm-hmm. and also very precise in the political sense. So, the first question, I have to say that I finished my studies in time of socialism, that is another ideological context than the capitalist system. That means when I was studying, it was all about ideology and every move was political. This doesn't mean that actually the capitalist system is not political and ideological, but the things are shown differently. So in socialism, when I was studying, making a political statement sometimes could also follow to go into prison. In a capitalist system, when you say something, they just transform this into trend. And this, I think, is the biggest difference. But today, I think these differences are just disappearing, because the global capitalist system functions actually in order to put everything on the same. That means capital is entering the education system more than ever. It was always like this, but I think now this is visible. And it's not actually a strange that Cyprus, for example, the next capital of Europe, is having as the main topic education, knowledge. Why? Because I think this is the last effort of global capitalism to transform also this institution in a managerial institution. That means in institutions that will just produce students that will know and have skills. They will be technologically maybe developed, but the problem will be in thinking. That means forming resistance to consumerism, to art, also only as part of the art market and so on. So this is in one way what is going on, and also in which way, for example, I can see the differences. So it is in intensification of the capital machine to enter this institution, to conquer them, and this is done in a visible way. And also, this is maybe the final point of what? Of a process that is called depoliticization. What's going on today in global capitalism? Everything is depoliticized. Every move is just or a social move, or a moral, or an ethical, but the political statement of the institution, also the institution of art, institution of knowledge, public space, everything is transformed in an apolitical sphere.
Mm-hmm. So, when did you start to teach? And what have your expectations been when you started to teach?
I was working before teaching in the Academy of Fine Arts mostly, and I am a researcher. That means writing books and also making art. I was teaching mostly before the 2003, when I was appointed as professor as a guest professor. So my experiences are coming, for example, from Merz Academy in Stuttgart, HISC, this higher school for specialization in art in Antwerpen, and I had also quite an intensive seminar, workshop, and guest lecturing in Japan when I was living in the 90s. So from this outcome, it's coming precise ideas about the institutions of education, academies, universities, and I must say I was always very critical toward these institutions, because I think they are very ideological, and this work for me, teaching, is becoming one of the most important work in my life, because I think it's such a huge responsibility. It's a political decision almost. You can actually ruin a whole generation. And this is something absolutely different just making a work of art. So my expectations were always very critical, and also I think that all our good ideas, all our good intentions are not enough, because the ideological structures of universities, academies, and so on. So we try to do the best, but the problem is that all around is more or less rotten, or as I told before, invaded by capital.
Mm-hmm. And what can you get out of teaching for yourself, for your own work and your own kind of creative process?
I mean, for me, teaching now is very, very important. Politically, as a statement, it's for me, it's the most important project in my life. And I am getting a lot. I am investing also a lot, I must say. It's constantly. Because, as I told, you can't make critical art and behave like, so to call, the worst capitalist in the institution, not having relations to the students and so on. This investment, on the other part, is getting or giving to me a lot. I am learning really a lot, because it's a huge difference of generation, and this matters. These ways of being 20, 30 years older, you can really first reflect a time that passed, but also see that some questions are always important. And this is what I learned with the students, that actually also that it's very important to be engaged, that you can't just do art as going to make pizzas. And this I learned from my students, I must say, very precisely. I'm empowered by not all of them, because I don't believe in this now everybody and so on, but some positions, some groups, some statements are unbelievable. I am really getting a lot of this criticism, and also those who are not so interested are interesting, because you see all these differences, and they are a kind of reflection also what's going on in society out of the academy.
Mm-hmm. And what are you focusing on while teaching? How is the proportion between the theory that you teach, as I know very much, and the practice of the students in really working visually and so on with art?
I think today it's impossible to do an artwork without theory. But this theory is not a fetishization. That means this theory is not that students in the academy now have to start to study Kant or Hegel, I don't know. It is to integrate theory as a very large paradigm. That means not art theory only, but for example, political theory, activist theory, a way of how to enter a public space, to reflect about art and life, for example. All for me, these are critical theoretical questions, and must be connected with an art practice. That means making visual art, thinking about the context, where this work will be presented, who will be the consumer, what is the content behind, what is the context. So in this way, it's necessary to connect these two parallel lines, because theory is not just for describing practice, and practice can't be just a manual coming from theory. I think this is not possible. They are both equivalent, but they are not just, and they are never describing each other, but they are actually interwoven. This interwoven situation, working together, also against sometimes, I think is the most important point. So this is what, at least, I think we try to work on in the academy, in the class. It's called, I call more as a department, post-conceptual art practices, where we are constantly discussing these elements, how the things are coming together, when they are actually going apart, why they are going apart, and why it's impossible just to be, so to call, an artist in this old way today, just thinking that all the expressions are coming from some kind of psychological motivation, but it's actually always necessary to integrate and to relate to the context.
Mm-hmm. And how do you avoid that the theory becomes a kind of a barrier for the students to actually work? Because I sometimes experienced something like this when people get into contact with very complex linguistic systems, like in theory often it appears, that they almost had a kind of a problem afterwards to really get to work, you know, and forget about these theories again, in a way.
But on the other part, if you think about art, with art is the same. If it's really a project that matters, also if it's the most simple in the form, actually, if you start to think about the project that really opens some positions in society, this project is actually multi-layered. Mm-hmm. And this multi-layered of the art practice project, I think, is coming back or near to the theory or maybe the language, because both are working with languages. Mm-hmm. And these languages are not just working at prima vista. They are not only on the surface. They are always in layers, going very, very deep. So I think that this so-called paranoia towards theory and maybe the language is actually a kind of almost a fake, because with the work is the same. You can't understand the work just seeing, because always the eye is connected with the brain, so to speak. Yeah. And we already have certain knowledge, certain stereotypes, certain context. We are coming from different experiences. But okay, in the class, what we try to do is that we actually question and connect this with the project. So when we have talks, we have a lot of guests in the class, and we are not just listening, but we are also questioning. We are trying as much as possible to reappropriate a certain concept and also to work through these problems of language, of understanding, and so on. But this is just showing only one thing, that language is not transparent and that language is not a tool, but it is also something very much connected with politics and ideology.
Very good. And could you name some authors or some book titles that you think they are essential for students or for any people maybe to get into contact with?
In the last period, I'm very much working with topics. First, it's about precarity and labor, because this is something that is very, very important, because it's also transforming the question of creativity, that it's connected with art, practice, and so on. Then the question of resistance. One of the theses that I am in the last period developing is connected with the idea that actually the capitalist system is kidnapping creativity. Creativity is taken and actually is also divided from resistance in terms of making projects that are really changing also socially the context of art. So, and also I'm very interested in other worlds out of the first capitalist world, because I found that in these other worlds, like the second world, the third world, it's a huge power. So some of the names will be for sure Sueli Rolnik. She is a theoretician and working in Sao Paulo. Writing about resistance and creativity, developing actually a very interesting new vocabulary. For example, she's talking very much about contamination of art and politics, and I am for such contamination. Then maybe the next writer can be Alex Foti, who is writing a lot about precarity, about labor, changing the, you know, what we are doing. We are talking. For example, now we are talking. So what changed in the whole structures of thinking, developing a project, not only an art project. And in the last period, I was very fascinated by Olu Ogibe. He's not so unknown, coming from American-African context and really developing a very interesting critique of global capitalism in relation, for example, to what was going on in Africa. But not just as a social question, but rethinking, for example, if was some kind of a modernist movement in Africa, in which way this was different from modernism that we know from the first capitalist world and so on. And maybe the last, it's a very new generation from Eastern Europe, and some names are like Šefik Tatlić, absolutely unknown, or Tomislav Medak, but they are really very, very powerful young writers who are actually really making a precise analysis of global capitalism, and this is what is also necessary to be done. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So, yes. What is actually what you can really teach? Because there's this superficial saying, you can't teach art, and that's something that's said quite often by different people, and there's something true in it, because the process of creating art is always a very subjective and very personal one. But what is it that you think that you can really teach in your class now, for example?
I think it's necessary to say you can correct art, not you can teach art, because my position is you can correct an artwork. Also with this student work in this way that you will make a pedagogical intervention and say, now you have to go home and correct this and that and make the things in this and that way. I think this is just simply to say a nonsense. Mm-hmm. Because the concept and the engagement in the work is something that everybody, as an individual or a group, has to take responsibility. Nobody can do the work. But we can teach about the context. Okay. And we can also transform this context in the content. And this is what we can do. We can think about the much wider context of art as a social practice, as a political implication. And this is possible to be teach. It's possible to say, for example, that the artwork has other implications, that the art institutions are not somewhere absolutely out of what is done in the artwork, because in the last instance, the students that will be artists in the future maybe will go in the institution of art, and there this segregation, hierarchies, question of power will become obvious, showing actually that art is not something, I'm always saying, coming from the intestines, but it's coming actually from very complex relations in societies. And I think this is possible to teach. This is what we can open. This is what we are trying to do. And in terms also to be very critical toward the work, not in order to tell, do another work, but to question why to take such a concept. What does this mean? What are the relations? Because we can't always just say, I did something, but I have no idea why I did it. Mm-hmm. Must be some layers behind. Doesn't matter if it's theory, it can be life, mm-hmm. because also today life is produced.
Mm-hmm. I'm still speaking of your class in this interview, although this system at the Academy of Fine Arts in Vienna doesn't really exist anymore. But still, it seems as if this concept is still very vivid in the minds of the students and so on, because they still speak about the class and about Marina Grzinic class and so on. Why do you think this system is so attractive that it kind of keeps being set up?
I'm always telling, I must say, it's not romanticism and it's not a heroic, but I'm always saying it's not my class because I don't own anything. and I'm against these proprietary relationships, and I hope that this also will come out in all these years of talking and discussing. But on the other part, the question of the class that has to be changed, it would be much better to have other words like laboratory, department. It's important because it's a tendency to change the academies in this kind of managerial institutions where you are getting skills. And must be a place, I don't know how it will be called. Maybe it's not important in the last instance, but it's important to have this place where you can confront a much more complex thinking. And this is why the class, in one way, is still resisting. And also must be a place where you can't just talk about knowledge, but you can have an access to the professors. Because we are paid, you know, we are there, and the student has to have a chance to come and tell, hey, Marina, I have a trouble, I need a help. And this help is not just how to make an artwork, but a help that maybe consists in much more complex things. And I think this is an important point. So the name is wrong, but also on the other part, the transformation of the academy is all, especially academies, as dealing with all these complexities, has to have places where you can talk, discuss in depth, and where you can actually share and build a network. Okay. So in this way, maybe the class, or maybe it's a fascination, at least in our case. But as I told in the beginning, I don't own anything. Okay. Actually, I don't. I think most of the very good positions, and they are really very, very interesting in this, what is called Gozinić class, it's really a very, very important but very precise individual positions. And I'm not sure that they are coming from me. I'm giving a context, but everybody has to decide by himself, herself, or as a group, what he or she or they will do. Mm-hmm. And I think this is coming obviously out. So in this thing, I see a power, actually. Mm-hmm.
As I know how the structure in your class works, I would say that you lay a lot of focus on impact from outside. So on the one hand, you invite people from different backgrounds into the class to make lectures or performances. And on the other hand, you regularly organize class trips to different countries where you meet people living and working there. It works almost like an open lab in a way. Was it hard to install something like this in an institution like the Academy, which has a quite conservative history?
Yeah, it's very important always to connect the world inside with the world outside. And so this way of working is a conscious. I established a certain program that I, when I started to work, I realized it's necessary. Otherwise, it's just no connection. And also, it's not possible to learn how art really affects or infects what is out of the institution. But it's true that it took quite a long time. It's true that the academy has to change in general, and I think some of these changes are also part of the future of our academy. So in one way, it's not easy, but on the other part, I think if exists a precise line, and it's actually a decision, I think it's possible to be done, but it also involves a lot of time and a lot of energy. Mm-hmm.
What do you think about these alternative universities like the Copenhagen Free University, for example, that try to form a non-hierarchical open space for the production and diffusion of knowledge? Could that be a model for an institution like the Art Academy too, or is that incompatible?
I have to say, just recently, a student that, as I told, we talk a lot. And it's possible, we really discussed in the class sometimes very in depth. So one of the students once told me, Marina, doesn't matter, you are always a figure of power. And I agree, because professors are always seen as power figures. Mm-hmm. So I just want to emphasize this is not a romanticism, it's not a heroic act or some kind of utopic act. It's a conscious way of rethinking what to do, but always having in mind that it's actually an institution. So if the students are capable to organize a countercultural group, I think this is very good. But this must be an effort coming from a really a way of thinking, and not just as a trendy, so to call, pose. Because in most of the cases, what I could see also sometimes in other academies, it is groups, but they are not behaving like, because this is trendy to be different, but not really, this in symphony with the engagement. So I think it's very important the students also bridge and build different ways of working and thinking. This is absolutely necessary, that not everything is coming from up. But I also think it's very difficult to dismantle the power hierarchy, because it exists, and this is on what the institution functions. So if it's, I can say, a healthy relations of power and also responsibility is something that it may be the third way, because you can dismantle. You have to dismantle then the whole institution. This will be the best, but it's impossible, because capitalism is functioning from installing power and hierarchy through institutions of different kinds, not only schools, but also all other institutions, from art to science, and going back or going further to politics.
Mm-hmm. So the head of the Academy of Finance in Vienna is changing the structure of the institution at the moment, also because he assumes that the profession of an artist has changed and that only very few of the students will actually live as full-time artists. And he tries to prepare the students for a wider field of further jobs, especially in the media field. Is that a necessary realism, considering the big amount of art students in Europe? Or is that heading the institution into a wrong direction? I mean, is that structure change not just following the demands of exactly that neo-capitalist system that you talked about?
Yes, I think of Schmidt-Wolfen is really pressed, not only him, but most of the academies by the Bologna new law, or the Bologna, so to call, imposition that the academies and universities have to change, and they have to change what I was talking with this managerial logic. So, and on the other part, the academy as an institution from the 19th century has to change. So the changes are necessary. The question is in which way to do this, and in which way to balance between the capital needs and maybe some kind of different constitution of the institution. So I am for changing, I support them, but I think they are in the beginning, and it's for me, I will make like a politically correct answer. Let's see in a year what and how these changes will affect the institution.
But would you have an idea how you would like the structure to be changed? Or like if you would be in charge of the academy, if you would be like the ruler, how would you change it?
I will change, yes, if I would be, not in this academy, mm-hmm. but maybe somewhere else. I think I will make one of the biggest problem, I think, of all these institutions is that they are, especially in the first capitalist world, they are all the time repeating always the same so-to-called history and the same so-to-called paradigm of names. And I think today, because of this globalization, very interesting positions from the second and third world are actually entering the arena, but they are not listened. And these people are rarely invited. They are rarely given the possibility to teach, to distribute this knowledge, and so on. So one of my measures will be really to open, not just as a decoration, but really to open to this position. Second, what I will do is the generations that are coming, the new young generations, they are very, very powerful, but they are not taken seriously. They are always patronized. And my view is that it's actually also this necessary to change, that it's actually necessary really to involve these new generations, also our students. Those who finished 1 year or 2 years ago, they are very powerful. Some of them are doing excellent work. And I will actually engage to take the power to actually really get something important and radical from this generation, and not to wait also for them decades in order to actually be in a situation to really divide or in a situation to exchange this. And then it's the question of the structure. I was thinking a lot how to change this whole idea of transparency, and this must be improved. Much more trust to the students has to be done, because the students actually, some are okay, some are not the best, they are different, but some are very, very precise. They know what is necessary to be done, what changes, and so on, and I will take care of this. So this is my point. Mm-hmm. But it's, what I have to say, I think it's no chance that somebody from the second or third world can get easily such a position. Mm-hmm. Although exist possibilities. I was such a case, or I don't know, Groves and some others. But it's very closed system. It's very segregated system of segregation, mm-hmm. and it's functioning with divisions and in exclusion and inclusion.
Mm-hmm. Especially young artists are often forced by the art system to work self-exploiting and adjusted. And in Germany, politicians even adapted these demands on artists with the so-called Ich-AG model, so the artist becomes a model for this kind of your neo-capitalist system, perfect way of working. You have your own little company in which you have to do everything yourself, producing, advertising, bureaucracy. So do you prepare the students for this situation, and how can students get the tools and the self-confidence to get control over this situation?
Yeah, this model I found very horrible, actually, I must say, because it's actually a kind of McDonald's Renaissance idea in terms of almost an American way that is then transposed in a European context, especially this West European context, that you have to learn all the skills, you have to clean the toilet, and from this point on you will come to the director. I think that it's a paradox, and it's impossible to be done in such a way, because capitalism actually functions as a division of labor. So from my point of view, it's much more important to know how these divisions are functioning, who is making what, why some things are disappearing, and to connect these things instead to do everything. Because while you want to be a carpenter, you want to clean toilets, and you want to be a mathematician, the capital is really changing everything else. So while you are trying to be a Renaissance expert, you are losing actually the political ground. So I think this is just another story, another invention of the capitalist global neoconservative neoliberal system in order how to depoliticize everything and everybody.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I think this could lead us to the last question, as we already have passed more than half an hour. And I would ask you just, what do you wish that a student should have learned when he or she leaves the institution finally?
Yeah, this is a difficult, because the most thinking, the most difficult question. Mm-hmm. I think what is necessary, or what I hope they will think about art really in a much more larger context, thinking about the ideological and political and social context of art, mm-hmm. not believing in creativity, and actually being also open that creativity today is really kidnapped by the pimp, as Sueli Ronick is saying, that is the capitalist system. Mm-hmm. And this creativity is just used for surplus value. What is really needed is resistance. And I think maybe this element will stay in the heads of the students, and that I will always have a chance to see them, look them precisely directly in the eyes, and look, because I did my job properly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was the right job, but actually that I really spent time with them, and that we could talk and we could discuss and we could rethink what we are doing.
This is a very good last word. Thank you very much, Marina, for this really very interesting interview. and very precise and elaborate answers.
Thank you very much for your wonderful questions that are really very political and very precise. So those who are listening have to listen really to the questions also.
Yes. And I just want to say that while we spoke, I just surfed a little bit through the homepage of the class for postconceptual practices, and this is called www.t4.endwill.org. There you can get more information about the class and about its activities. Okay, so I will stop the camera now.